But first, the High Court this morning handed down one of its most significant judgments on Indigenous land rights in the Northern Territory. It's dismissed the Northern Territory government's objections and confirmed that traditional owners do have exclusive rights over tidal waters along about 80% of the Northern Territory's coastline, as well as in tidal rivers. The decision is likely to lead to the introduction of a permit system for fishermen, and for Indigenous people it ends a 30-year court battle. Sarah Hawke has been following the case and joins us in Darwin. So Sarah, what does this decision mean for non-Indigenous people wanting to use these tidal waters?
Well, basically, in the past, we've seen that fishing rights have overridden the rights of traditional owners who own these waters anyhow. Basically, that reverses that process, and now that traditional owners will have a say and decisions allow, or I guess hold the decisions over who has access to these waters. Now, these are tidal waters, which, as you mentioned, along 80% of the coastline, as well as some of the tidal rivers as well.
Are Indigenous people giving any indication that they will be objecting to any activities that are now carried on in these tidal areas?
Well, certainly the indications from today's press conference is that they really do want to work with both commercial and recreational fishing operators to give them access. We are likely to see the introduction of a permit system. Now, how much that will be worth, we're not too sure. Part of this process, we will see a 12-month amnesty as well, so therefore the access will continue as is at present as they figure out the final details of this.
Now, this decision gives Indigenous people exclusive rights. This is different to what we see under native title. Why are these rights more extensive?
Well, basically, as traditional owners, they will have a say on who can come and go within these waters. Now, when we say that, I think the Northern Land Council is trying to ensure that people shouldn't be frightened by this, that they will be excluded from these waters. They are working on a process to try and ensure that there will be continuing access. However, they will have a stronger say on that actual process.
Is this case likely to set any precedents for other land claims across Australia?
It won't for the rest of Australia simply because it falls under the Northern Territory Land Rights Act, which was introduced in 1976. So that's separate again. And of course, that particular act covers about half of the Northern Territory anyhow. So no, it won't have any impacts there for the wider scheme.
Now, this is a very long running case. Why did the traditional owners originally bring it?
Well, look, the actual process to try and gain exclusive rights over waters has been going on for about 30 years. We've seen several cases over that time. One that comes to mind is Croker Island trying to allow exclusive rights there. That was rejected. This particular one in regards to Blue Mud Bay, just around Arnhem Land, it was introduced in 2002 and has actually been, quite a full-on case over that time. The federal court last year ruled that, in fact, those exclusive rights should be recognised. And, of course, that was upheld in the High Court today, which was welcomed by traditional owners, including Jumbawa Marawili.
We had rights since 2,000 years ago. Today, it's been given to us in the eyes of most Australian people, white and young. The country, it's almost for everybody. The sea and the land. We can take care, we can look after the land, and we can look after the sea. So we're not letting white people down, but we are almost be one to look after the land and the sea.
Do commercial fishermen have anything to fear by this decision?
Fishermen, they are allowed to come to fish around in our country, but through the permit and through the right communication.
So a similar permit system to what we see on the land?
Yes, similar system.
Is this an economic opportunity for your people?
It is an economic opportunity for our communities right across this the country.
Did you expect to win today?
Well, I was expecting to win this case. It was almost for 20 years now, 30 or 40 years now.
How will this affect people on the ground? What does it mean for people on the ground?
The ground is really important to us. The country and the sea, it's linked to a human being. Those people who are created and been living in that country.
That's Djambulwa Marawili Amala Elder from Blue Mud Bay speaking after that decision. Now, Sarah, the Northern Territory government opposed this case. This decision against the government comes at a tricky time for them, right in the middle of an election campaign. How have they reacted?
Well, look, we're still to hear from them as yet. While they consider the decision, I mean, they probably already have their own thoughts, given that they have fought the case for so long. The problem with them is they do need to speak with the opposition leader about this, given that they are in caretaker government mode. The interesting point with all this, too, is that the fishing, particularly the recreational fishing group up here, is a very strong lobbying group and quite influential when it comes to issues such as elections. So that will be interesting just to see how that comes out today. Certainly the opposition leader will have something to say when they launch the Country Liberals election campaign in about half an hour's time, with the Chief Minister Paul Henderson expected to respond a little bit later on. So
what's been the reaction from commercial fishermen?
Well, commercial fishermen at this stage, likewise, still assessing how that will fit in and where what it actually means as far as their access and whether or not, you know, they're working with Indigenous groups when it comes to commercial operations. So that will also is still to play out. And we're also, but certainly the recreational fishermen who've been lobbying and certainly were not didn't want this case to succeed, they were actually not surprised by this morning's decision, as explained by Chris Makepeace.
Recreational fishing in the Territory is a very important lifestyle activity. Recreational fishing is really considered to be one of those sort of almost, you know, those rights that we have. And I think one of the things that is sort of disappointing about the decision of the High Court is that it's effectively said that the public right to fish and navigate has been abrogated by both the Aboriginal Land Rights Act and almost ironically by the Northern Territory Fisheries Act, which is... you know, a real problem. These rights have existed for Anglo-Saxon-based government systems since prior to Magna Carta, and so we suddenly find ourselves in the Northern Territory in a situation where that doesn't apply.
What about the way forward for access? What is going to happen from here on in from the amateur fisherman's point of view?
Well, I mean, basically now what this faces us with is a situation where we're going to have to try and arrange some sort of a settlement with Indigenous interests as to how we may go about doing that, whether it's a continuation of the current temporary permit scheme or whether there's some other system is put into place that allows us to continue the sort of access that we've got. I'm heartened by the media release from the Northern Land Council today, which indicates that they too realise that we have to find some sort of a way forward with this.
That's Chris Makepeace from the Northern Territory Amateur Fishermen's Association speaking to Sarah Hawke about that High Court decision.